Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own.
Sorry, quick question. So yeah. It's like, did you have guys submit questions that they wanted answered? Is that where a lot of these came from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought this was a really interesting question because I guess as women, you know, we're used to just talking about our feelings. And so I was kind of thrown off by the question a little bit. I'm like, why is this even a question? Like, yes, just be honest and share your feeling. It's funny. So when I took the survey, I was not talking to anyone. And like over the last week, I started talking to somebody that like seems like it could be the real deal. So we'll see. I'm trying to be very cautious. But, he texted me, you know, I'm like, hey, how's your day? And I was like, well, it was really exhausting. And like, you know, told him why. And he's like, I feel you. And then he like shared a little bit about his day. Like he had kind of a stressful day too. And I was like, I just appreciate that because then, you know, you can commiserate together if you both had a rough day. Or I think kind of like I said in my answer in the initial survey, like if they're not having a good day, like I want to be there for them. Mm-hmm. And so that like, I don't know, I could maybe go get them like their favorite candy or something, you know, just like do something to try to make their day better. And so I don't know if they're not having a good day. I don't know unless they tell me.
Such a great point. How are we supposed to be a helpmate and, you know, be involved and like support our husband if we don't know what's going on in that head of theirs?
Communicate. Yeah. Like we, neither sex understands the other. Like I don't really understand guys. They don't understand us. So let's talk about it so we can try to understand each other.
Exactly. Which is why I'm now doing this podcast step series, because thank you, Bob, for doing the What Men Think series.
Yes. It has been so fascinating. I'm still catching up, but I've listened to like 20 of his episodes, and it's so interesting.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you that. Like, from the 20 that you've listened to, like, what's your biggest takeaway so far?
Oh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I know, I'm trying to remember, like, there's been so many times that I'm like, oh, that's really good. Like, oh, that's a really good point. Like, a good insight into guys' brain. I really, after thinking about it, I think we both, like, men and women, I think we both kind of want the same thing of, like, we just want communication. Mm-hmm. And like, we want to be genuine with each other, because, you know, we'll get to that question too. But one of the questions on the survey was, you know, like, why do women use filters and stuff like that? And I'm like, I don't. And so I was like, well, I don't know why women do that. Cause I'm like, be genuine, be yourself. So I think, yeah, my biggest takeaway has just been a lot of, oh, like that makes sense that that's what guys want. Cause like, that's what I would want too, like just good communication. And like, yeah, we're like, yeah, if we're all single Christians, we're looking for a spouse. And so, yes, as women, I want to be a good helpmate. And so as men, like they need to be a leader, but they need to feel like respected to be a leader. Yeah, I think that's all I got for it.
Well, that was perfect. I think for me, like one of the biggest takeaways so far, so I think I'm up through episode 50 now, so I'm a little bit behind on where he is currently, but so I think the biggest takeaway so far is how many men have said that they would rather we just be open and honest instead of saying things like, oh, I'm just in a season of singleness, or like using an excuse, like if we're not interested, just tell them like, I'm not interested, you know? And I was like, I don't know why that's such a big surprise for me. But for me personally, like that was a huge shock. And I was kind of like, okay, this shouldn't be that shocking to you, Tiffany, but it is, that they really want you to be not blunt and like rude about it, but, you know, be forthcoming and like just say, hey, I'm really not that interested. Instead of like, I think earlier I was talking to one of the other ladies, and you know, we realized that we'll say things like, oh, I'm just not really into dating right now, instead of saying like, hey, I'm not interested in you. And then we assume that they're gonna get the hint, but they don't get the hint unless you tell them flat out. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I think part of like why it's hard for us to just say that, granted, I maybe I'm I have never been in a relationship and don't have a ton of dating experience. So I started the dating apps about 6 months ago or so. And so I have tried to be very transparent. Like if it gets to a certain level in the conversation, I'm just saying like, hey, I don't think this is going to work out. Well, sometimes you have guys react in a negative way. And so like, that's part of why I think some women aren't willing to just be very honest, because whenever they get a response of like, well, why? Because blah, 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 blah. And they go on a big rant. And I'm like, ooh, like I was just trying to be honest with you and that, like, and be done. Like, I don't want to hear a rant of how women have hurt you in the past too. Like, sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that really stinks. Like, I'm sorry you have gotten hurt, but don't take that out on me when I'm trying to be clear as kind. I'm trying to be clear with you that I am not interested, so you can find someone else that is.
Mm-hmm. Amen. believe in once saved, always saved. So I found this question very interesting because of the answers I've gotten so far is vastly different. And so, Okay. Yeah, I'm just like, huh. I mean, I've heard both sides before of like the whole, okay, you've generally accepted Christ, like you're saved. That's it. Right. You can walk away, but you're still technically saved. But then I've also heard the argument of like, if you've walked away, you weren't generally saved to begin with, you know? And so I'm like, huh. So I've had a lot of those two polar opposite responses so far. Yeah. So I feel like this is going to be a very interesting topic throughout the rest of the series. But yeah, like if you want to just kind of touch on your personal viewpoint of that particular topic.
Yeah, I know. It's an interesting question because, yeah, I believe if someone is genuinely saved, like, yes, if you've accepted Christ as your savior, you're his. But yeah, the people who walk away and don't ever come back, then yeah, the question is, were they ever saved? And that's where it's hard because we don't know people's hearts. But we do know the Bible tells us faith without works is dead. And so like we should be exhibiting fruit of the Spirit if we are saved. And like, yes, I get that there's church hurt out there. And so I can understand why some people walk away for a period, but really like, yeah, if we are his children, God's going to call us back too. And that's where, yes, like I believe if you've genuinely accepted him, you're his, but like we just can't know for sure if it's genuine or not. Only that's something that God only knows. Mm-hmm.
Amen again. I agree. Like we're not God. We don't know what that person, you know, was really feeling and thinking and like how that process went for them. We can only judge like based on what we did ourselves and like how we've walked our own walk. So yeah, I agree. It's funny because you said you don't understand seasons of singleness, and I haven't for the longest time. I was like, what is this stuff about season of singleness? You know, but now I've been doing the whole like dating app thing for so long that I'm like, maybe I need to go into a season of singleness.
Well, I guess to be clear, I don't understand closed singleness. Okay. Like, and I had actually never heard of it until I joined like the Heart of Dating and A24 group. I'm like, closed season? And I guess to be fair, like maybe I just don't understand. But from what I understand, people when they say closed season, like that they're not open to dating at all. And I just like legitimately don't understand that of. I can understand being in a season of you're not seeking, because that's where, yes, all of my life, like I haven't really been seeking or trying to find a husband. Like, yes, I've wanted it, but I have a career and, you know, like that is what I was focused on. And I was like, okay, Lord, if you have a husband for me, like I trust that God is in control of everything. So he will bring him into my life, or I could also try and God would still bring him into my life. However, like God is outside of time. He knows how I'm going to meet my spouse if it's meant to happen.
Right.
But I guess, like I said, I don't understand if you're purposely not open to dating. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me because, I don't know, it just doesn't. Like, if a guy were to approach me, I guess, I mean, yeah, it would depend on if I was interested in him or not. But I would be open to it, I think, at any time in my life.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a question that got submitted after I sent you this. And so it was like a different question, but that relates to what you just said. So the person asked, like, you know, if you're in a season of closed singleness, you know, would you be open to being like, hey, I'm, you know, this guy's interested in me, I'm going to break that off, but break off the closed singleness, but also like what the question was, how would you go about something if like our relationship, like if it was long distance, in the sense that like you know, you started developing feelings for this person, or like they started developing feelings for you, and you know, you've always thought, oh, I'm never going to do long distance. Like, would that ever be something that you would change? I think that's how he kind of like wanted to ask it. You know, so I don't know if you have any thoughts on like that, or if you're even interested in long distance, or like what that looks like.
Yeah, might sound like a corny answer, but just like pray about it. I mean, we're Christians. And so like seeking the Lord and all things, like, yeah, I ask God for all kinds of things, you know, direction in my life. So of course, like something as important as like potentially finding the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, that's something I should be praying about, and just for guidance. And yeah, God speaks to us all in different ways. And sometimes like he may not give like a clear answer because he also gave us brains to make decisions with. So yeah, I know those are all good questions. And really, I think it just boils down to our main focus in our life should be our relationship with the Lord. And if we are keeping our eyes on him and just seeking him for wisdom and discernment throughout all of this, like that's the most important thing. And God has a sense of humor. And so, yeah, like we could say, no, I'm not open to long distance. And then maybe a spouse from 500 miles away, like, you know, or a potential, or a man from 500 miles away, like shows interest in you. And you're like, oh, okay, like I might be interested in this. Like that could happen. You never know. And as long as you're seeking the Lord and all of it, I think that's the most important thing. Because I don't know. The older I get, the more I'm like, I don't think there are very many absolutes in life, like besides my faith. Like everything else is open. Like God can do crazy things.
Again, amen. Like you're just rolling it out, and I am loving it. I agree, though. Like I've in my life, because I'm stubborn, very, very stubborn. So I have, it's bad. I have told God I will never fill in blank multiple times, right? And there is only one that I have not done now. Every single I have never, or I will never, have happened except for one. And so I'm just waiting for that one, because, and it's going to be really ironic if it ends up happening. but anyway, it just is so funny to me, like when you throw out an absolute like that, right? And like, I'm never gonna do this, or I'm never gonna be open to this, or whatever, you know, and then God slowly just goes smack, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, now I can do that. You know, I mean, it sometimes it takes a little longer. In my case, it took a while for some of them. but yeah, it just, it blows my mind now when I hear people say something along those lines, some kind of absolute, like, or telling God flat out no, I'm like, oh, just wait.
Yes.
well yeah. You just told your creator no. Did you read the story of Jonah?
Right.
did you read the Old Testament at all?
Yeah. Yes.
Every single one of them said no at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, I can rant about that particular topic for a while, but I won't. okay. Yes. So everybody who's answered this question, the next question so far, has basically said the same thing about a male friend asking for a hug. And everybody's like, just do it.
I guess. Yeah. I was confused on this question. I'm like, are guys like, do they want more hugs? I guess. Like, I'm like, okay. Because I struggled with this question a little bit because I was taken aback by it. Like, why is this a question? And then second, I'm like, okay, so it is a question. So there's something behind it. And is it just like, I'm assuming good intentions here. And so that, you know, I guess specifically people probably with like physical touch as a love language or something, or even just like people, like as people, we like hugs, you know, it's just a comforting thing. And it made me think about how, like, at least women, we tend to like, I hug my friends all the time. And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I don't see guys do that very often. And yeah, just kind of, I don't know, this question took me aback and it kind of broke my heart a little bit at first. I'm like, oh, like if the guys want more hugs, they just need to tell us, you know, I'm like, I'll give you a hug. But then also a little bit of purity culture. Like I think I've said in my survey, I became a Christian at 21. And so it was kind of towards the end of purity culture. But still enough where the people that introduced me to Jesus had been influenced by it, you know, and say they kind of told me like the importance of like a side hug instead of, you know, front hug or whatever. And I even, oh yeah, my pastor, he's his good intentions, but will only side hug me. Just, yeah, I don't know. We tend to over-sexualize things in our culture. And so I'm like, it's a hug. Like, come on. If you have good intentions, and I guess, yeah, you can't know if they have good intentions or not. But if they're my friend, I would hope they have good intentions. So like, of course I will give you a hug.
Exactly. I love that you said we over-sexualize things too, because it's so, so true. And then I grew up in purity culture. So like, I have a very, very particular view of purity culture, you know? And so like, I remember all those things of like, okay, we got to save room for Jesus. And like, you know, you got a side hug, you can't frontal hug guys, and like all this stuff. And I am a physical touch person. Like, that is my top love language. And so it drives me insane because that's how I feel love, you know? And so this question, actually, it was funny when I saw it come through. I was like, I'm wondering if, like, because I don't know who this person is, but I'm wondering if he's a physical touch person, but like never really, probably because he grew up in purity culture too, you know, I'm just assuming, but like never realized how to ask for it, you know, like in a respectful way and stuff. So anyway, that's just, that's another rant too, but.
And this leads into one of the other questions too, like, can men and women be friends, you know? And I would like to think that that's true. Again, I tend to err on the, like, I always want to believe intentions are good. And I said my answer, like, yes, because the guy who introduced me to Jesus, he was already married at the time. And like, I'm not interested in him at all romantically. He is my brother. Like, we hug all the time. His friends call me aunt. Like, he is one of my best friends. Like, and yes, his wife is too, but really, like, I'm closer with him because he, like, has been such a big brother to me. And maybe the fact that he's married, maybe that's why it's different. But like, I want to believe men and women can be friends. And yeah, like, we should be able to hug each other and support each other. Like, God made us for community. God is community. The Trinity is community. So I just wish that we as Christians here on earth could remember that, like, community, we all need it. To have good intentions.
I think that touches back into also the over-sexualizing things of like, why can't we have friendships with the opposite sex and it not be about sex? You know, and like not being about all these other things. Like, why can't we just have a connection and be a brother and a sister to each other? Like, I've never understood that. And I think it does connect into purity culture too, but like, I've never understood why that's a thing. Like, I have really close guy friends, and I was the girl who grew up with guy friends. Like, I didn't have a whole lot of girlfriends, that not till later in life, but you know, and so to me, there was things that were said in by adults in the past that I won't bring up right now, but to me, it still never made any sense. Like, that was not okay. You know, even though all these people were like, well, you can't be friends with all these guys. Like, why are you friends with all these guys? And you can fill in the blanks there, I'm sure. you know, and I'm like, that's definitely not happening. Not happening at all. We are just homies. Like, I love sports. You know, like, I'm that type of girl that's more, I can hang out with the guys and they like to hang out with me because we can talk about, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, so. Anyway, I won't keep ranting about that, but
no, I think that's a good point. Like, oh, darn it. I just lost what I was thinking.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. And it's good for us to be around the opposite sex because, again, becoming a Christian as an adult. So I didn't, like, even though I was still young at 21, most of my friends were already, like, most of my new Christian friends were married.
Oh.
I, for a long time, like, didn't really even know, like, what Christian men should be like then, like, so what I should look like and look for in a husband. And that's something I've been praying about lately. I'm like, Lord, thank you for protecting me for so long. Of yes, I've had this desire to be married for a very long time, but I think it's God has protected me from so many things, and part of it because I didn't quite know what I was looking for. Because if I don't have Christian men in my life that I'm close with, I'm not going to know what it looks like to have a godly husband. Mm-hmm. We need those relationships. And again, I think the same for men as well. Like, men need women in their lives, like, maybe just to learn how to treat women, and also to have open dialogue as well, like, to communicate. Like, I love, these podcasts. I'm like, I wish we could kind of sit in a room and talk about it where, like, men and women can both, like, pose their questions to the other gender and be like, hey, what do you think about this? And like, to have that close enough relationship, especially when dating, I've thought about that of, man, I wish I had a guy friend that could, like, look at my profile and, like, my dating profile and be like, what do you think? Like, would this attract, like, the man I'm looking for, like a godly man. Vice versa too, like I've seen it, I think on like Reddit or something like that, some people will post like, here's my dating profile, give me some advice. And just being able to do that for each other.
Agreed. Because like how, because you know, those are some things too, like we don't necessarily want to ask parents either. Like, you know, like you want a peer to be able to talk to about certain things. And so I agree. And now I'm over here like, maybe I should ask Bob if we should do a focus group after. Like, hey Bob, we should get some of your guys together with some of my ladies and see what happens.
Yes.
I think that'd be kind of funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, that's such a great point though too, like just being able to have, it's all about the community for me personally, you know, and being able to check each other too, because I think sometimes, like, you know, we'll get wrapped up in certain things and we won't see it from an outside perspective, right? And for me, like, sometimes I can't go to my girlfriends because we're just going to end up getting all riled together, you know, and then things are going to be said and then nothing's going to be done. And sometimes I have to be like, hey, yo, bro, I need to talk to you about this. And then they'll smack me upside the head in a loving way with logic, you know, and I'll be like, you're right. You're right. I'm being a little bit too emotional about said situation. I need to calm down. You know what I mean? Just like, I think that's how God meant things to happen. Like, we're supposed to balance each other out. And and boundaries are so important.
Yes, absolutely.
Boundaries are very important.
Yep. And just the strongest relationship in the Bible is the sibling relationship. Like, that's what God cares most about. And so, like, if we're going to live as brothers and sisters, let's live as brothers and sisters and treat each other well.
Mm-hmm. Again, amen. Okay, so we kind of already covered those questions, so I'm just gonna skip right along.
Jumped ahead.
I love how you're bringing it all in though, like it's great, because I'm like, oh, I don't even have to ask that question because you're tying it in yourself.
It all relates.
It all does. Okay, so how can a guy be more intentional when he's interested in you? I like how you said that, like what you said. I don't know if you remember what you said, but
just ask, like, kind of back to what we were talking about, just communication. I'm like, I'm a big fan, just ask for what you want, like men and women both. And like, I get, and that's something I'm learning, you know, it's been helpful to be in the Heart of Dating and 824 group. Like, yes, we need to let the man lead, but also like to give them, let them know you're interested. So ask for what you want. And so, as a man, like, just be like, hey, I'd like to get to know you. Can we meet for coffee? Like, go for a walk. Like, pick something low key. You know, it doesn't have to be dinner right away or something. Like, just ask. And then just like with anything, though, not everybody's going to say yes. And that's just like with anything in life, really. I work at a nonprofit, and so I'm an accountant, but I'm not a fundraiser. It's been really helpful, like learning more about it, because they're like, you know, just the science behind fundraising. You know, if you need to, you know, raise a certain amount of money, they're like, okay, we need to ask this many people because we're going to get a ton of no's. And so we need to ask this many so that we can get enough yeses to raise the amount of money we need. So I think the same thing really applies to dating as well, of not everybody is going to say yes. And yes, like rejection stings, but you don't know unless you try.
Again, amen. I'm just going to keep saying that.
Sorry.
It's such a great, like, I was going to ask that if you were a fundraiser, but then you like said no, because I used to work at a nonprofit. So I know the struggles. But anyway, like, I feel like we all, and this is a huge generalization of Christians, period, but we all just don't know how to communicate, you know? And I think the majority, if not all, problems in relationships come down to some level of communication issue.
Absolutely.
I agree. You just communicate. Yeah. Or just learn how your partner communicates. Like, that's the other thing too. You know, having to figure out how you both communicate. I'm an over-communicator. Like,
there's no such thing in my head. Like, there's no such thing as over-communication.
Thank you.
And that's something, like, even so at work, you know, just culture is so important at a workplace. And so, you know, we've recently run into, like, people are upset with how we're making decisions because we're not sharing why we're making them. And so I'm like, okay, guys, like, we can't over communicate. Like, as a leadership team, like, people just want to know why, you know. I'm like, and that's fair. So there's no such thing as over communicate. Yes, they're like, you don't have to share everything. Like, that's not what that means. Like, doesn't mean, blah, there's no filter. But like, yeah, you guess, yeah, what does, so you can't over communicate, so it doesn't mean you can keep repeating what you're saying, like, to get it, make sure it's understood.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So I'm gonna stop saying I'm an over communicator. I'm just gonna start saying I am an oversharer.
See, yeah, so that's a difference of, yeah, yeah, like, there's such a thing, I guess, as oversharing.
Yeah, there is a thing that's oversharing. So I am an oversharer. But you just tell me all the things as far as communication. I would rather know everything, because I was sharing with one of the other ladies earlier, like, I tend to be an overthinker also, you know, so I get wrapped up in this pattern of like, okay, like, why haven't I heard from this person? Or are they mad at me? Like, I mean, obviously there's circumstantial reasons for that, right? But like, you know, especially if you're having a specific kind of conversation and then you don't hear back from them, you know, or like you kind of drop something out there and like, I'm waiting for marriage, for sex, you know, like, and then all of a sudden this guy's like ghosting you, that's gonna make you or me like overthink all the things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's just absolutely. Like a loose example, but yeah. And so I'm like, I've learned that I have to like tell a guy like up front, like, hey, you have to communicate with me, because, and like, this is what I mean by communication, you know, instead of just saying, oh, I'd like to communicate, and then him be like, oh yeah, I'm communicating with you, but you're really not. You know, so anyway, like, communication is just, it's the key. I feel like we should have communication classes when we were like young.
Yes, absolutely.
This is how you properly communicate.
Yeah, because I think you're right. I would say probably most people think they're a good communicator.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not everyone is. Or I guess, yeah, to be fair, everybody has a different way that they like to be communicated with. And so that's all part of, yeah, if you're going to spend the rest of your life with someone, then you need to learn how they communicate.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. Learning. I mean, because it's not just the communication part of it, too. Like, there's so many other things that, like, when you're in a relationship, you have to learn about the other person to make it work. Mm-hmm. You know, I just feel like communicating is pretty high up there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because we're not mind readers.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Are you sure? No, I'm just kidding. I like to pretend I am.
Yeah.
But I am not, definitely not.
Yeah.
Okay, so I love your response to, do you think integrity connects to communication skills? Because you said, yes, do what you say you're going to do. Amen.
Yeah. Because I think that, I mean, yeah, communication helps with so many other things too, like trust as well, you know, and integrity. Yeah, do what you say you're going to do. And in order to build trust, like, that's it. Like, if you tell someone, I'm going to do this thing, and then you do it, that builds trust. And then it just keeps going from there. Yeah.
And I think it also points back to, let your yes be yes and your no be no, you know, like, what you say is what you're saying. And, you know, you need to follow through on that, like, whatever it is. So agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are your expectations as far as a man leading you in a relationship?
Yeah. Like, men leading, it doesn't mean they have to always be the one to initiate. But yes, if they're leading, it's our job to respond to that then. And so for them to lead, like, yes, I want him to bring up faith and to pray and like to take the lead on those things. But that doesn't mean I'm never going to be the one to bring it up first either. But especially I think like in a new relationship of, yeah, like the guy should set the tone, especially the godly man then would also set physical boundaries as well, or respect any that I have personally. Just leading is, you know, setting the example, and especially just with a godly man of, yeah, being that one to turn to God first.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So you brought up something else that I'm actually surprised I didn't put in here. So now I'm going to ask. Because so, like I said earlier, so most of these questions were brought by guys, and some of them I was like, okay, this is such a good question and I've gotten asked this, I want to get everybody else's opinions. So but you mentioned physical boundaries, and so for me that has always been like a very difficult conversation to have, because I am a physical person, right? Like, but I know that there's like lines I'm not gonna cross, you know, but it's still also like, I guess when guys in the past have heard, oh, my love language is physical touch, they automatically assume, okay, cool, I can like push her past these these boundaries, right? So anyway, I just kind of wanted to like ask that question though, like, what does that look like for you? You don't have to share them all or anything like that, but just like, or have you had experience sharing that with anybody else yet?
that's really funny because that's actually just a couple days ago the guy I've been talking to. Yeah. And I really, yeah, the more I talk about it, I'm like, oh, I might have found a keeper.
Share.
I know. Yes. Yeah, so like, oh, found a unicorn here. No, he brought up, like, and he just flat out asked. Well, he was homeschooled. And so he was like, he's like, where are you on, you know, kissing before marriage? Because I know, like, some people have different ideas on that. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And I was like, well, like, I'll admit, like, being at the end of purity culture, when I first became a Christian, some of my guy friends had kind of said, like, you know, you may want to save that, like, kissing for your wedding day. And at the time, I was like, okay, sure. And then I'm like, no, that's awkward. So since then, though, I'm like, okay, but that's fair. Kissing should mean something, like, to me. So just a personal conviction is that I thought, like, okay, I'm not going to kiss a man until I'm in love with him. And so then, yeah, I told this guy that, and he was like, okay, sure. And then I was the one that went ahead and dove in, because it amazes me that we have to have this conversation in Christian circles. But again, seeing this on the Facebook groups, we do have to talk about sex. And like, that amazes me, because the Bible is very clear to not have sex before you're married. Mm-hmm. And so I at least, yeah, I just went for it. I'm like, I'm 35. Like, we're both adults here. Like, come on, let's just get it out in the open. And so I said, all right, let's dive in. What is your opinion on sex before marriage? He's like, oh yeah, no, like that's not an option. And I was like, good, because yes, the Bible's clear on that. Like, no, no sex before marriage. Everything else is kind of gray, but no. And it just, like I said, it kind of amazes me that that's not the case for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had too many conversations about that. Like, way too many. And yeah. Like, in my personal experience, I've only had probably 3 of the guys. And I don't want to, like, give a number because it's going to make me sound crazy. But, like, 3 of the amount of guys that I've talked to about this particular subject say, oh, yeah, that's totally fine. I'm good with that. The majority of them, if not all except for those 3, have said, oh, well, I'm not okay with that.
What? And they claim to be Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
It just blows my mind. I'm like, so then kind of back to that question of, like, are you even a Christian then? Like, yes, there are issues, like, things in the Bible that can be interpreted different ways. But that one is very clear.
Agreed.
Yeah, that is so interesting.
Yep. And like, I even have it on my dating profile. Like, yeah. It is clearly said on my dating profile, you ain't getting any until we're married. Like, it's just not happening, you know? And then guys are still shocked.
Yeah. It shouldn't have to be on there even. Cause like, even, yeah, I'm on, you know, one of the Christian dating apps, and yes, even on there, some of the guys have to put it. And I feel like, what? Like, you shouldn't have to put that on there on a Christian dating. I could understand on a secular one, but still, it just.
Yep. It should be that it's just understood, and it shouldn't even be talked about. Like, physical boundaries, yes, those need to be talked about, but like, sex should just not be on the table, period, until you're married. Mm-hmm. Like, so that one shouldn't have to be discussed. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I swear, the next time I have this conversation, I'm like, Lord, please let it be the last. Because I'm very tired of having that conversation. But anyway. So your turnoffs, those are some good turnoffs. Like, those are some good ones. Because I was just like, example, you know, etc. But those are some good turnoffs. I feel like more of us need to pay attention to some of those.
Like, of course, I maybe have my own, like, physical one. Well, and I don't know. Just, yeah, again, the older I get, the more, and just the closer I grow in the Lord, and the more confident I am in myself. Like, the Lord looks at our hearts. And so I want to do that. Like, I want a godly man. And so, yes, being physically attracted is somewhat important, but at least I think for most women, I guess I cannot speak for all women, but I would, as I get to know someone, I tend to think they're more attractive if I'm attracted to their personality and, like, their character and who they are. So that's where, yeah, most of my turnoffs, and the main one is just not wanting to better yourself, you know, and as Christians, we should be striving for sanctification. We should be, like, keeping our eyes on the Lord and how can we better ourselves spiritually, but then also just everything else too. Again, the older I get, the more I just realize, like, how much your, like, childhood experiences affect you, whether that's good or bad. And so just working through things, just anything that has ever hurt you, like, you need to heal from that. Like, you've got to open the wound and clean it out before it can heal. And so just wanting to better yourself there. And then also just within the last year and a half or so, like, I was like, I need to get my physical health in order. You know, I need to be better about this. Then so just constantly striving to better yourself, I think, is really important. And then that just kind of goes along with it. Smoking is a huge turnoff just because it's smelly and just lots of things. And then the other one I had said, just being unkind. So like I said, I'm more attracted to somebody's character. And so like, I want someone who's going to be kind to all. And similar to me of like, just believing intentions are good. Like, yes, I know not everyone's intentions are good, but you at least go into it believing their intentions are good. More often than not, it probably works.
Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna clap at that. And probably say amen. Like, it's such a good point though, like with being on the same level as far as like personal development, you know, and like what that looks like. How are we walking towards that sanctification, and what does that look like for us each individually? Because it's all different, like, because we all have different struggles, we all have different sin issues. You know, I mean, everybody sins obviously, but like, what our struggles are going to be different person to person, right? And so you know, finding somebody that like either aligns with that, like as far as bettering yourself and like trying to you know, not fall into those temptations and stuff, like whatever those temptations are, right? But also I think like sometimes it's important, or I guess it's not, it is important, but I think sometimes how God like works things out is what I'm trying to say, is that other person will like compliment you in the sense that they won't necessarily struggle with that, and so that they can help, you know, push you through whatever the situation is. So yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like it. Amen.
Thank you. It was funny, I was like, how am I trying to say this, and I'm like, Lord, give me the words. Because it's so true though, and I feel like friendships work that way too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like God will bring you those like men or women who will be able to kind of help push you through whatever those situations are that he's going to have you walk through, because it's all about growth, you know?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So anyway, yep. Okay.
Good.
Oh, and also I am so much more attracted to guys' personalities. Like if you can make me laugh, you're like, you're here.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I think guys get confused by that because they get told that women want a six pack, six figure, 6 foot guy. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we'll just not ignore the fact that it's 3 sixes in a row.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking that's the world telling you that. Yes.
Thank you. Oh, I'm totally going to share that part in the episode, by the way. I agree. I'm like, it's totally the world. It's not Christian women feeling that way.
No.
Anyway.
No.
Okay. Just no. Did you hear that, gentlemen? No.
Or if it is, they're not the right one for you.
Oh, yes. Yes. Agreed. Okay. So I love your response to, do you believe that there is only one person for you? So if you want to kind of jump into that one too.
Yeah. And actually, I thought about this question more too, after I gave that answer. I initially said, you know, not necessarily, and I guess the one, it's hard also just, again, God is outside of time. And so if we are meant to be married, God knows who we're going to marry. And so it's hard to answer this question because like he knows who our one is going to be, but also some people have two, you know, like if your spouse passes away, or if you get divorced for biblical reasons, or not even, like, you may have more than one person that you will be married to. So I don't think there's only the one. And then just ultimately, if two people love the Lord and enjoy spending time together, like, in fact, like, that's very simple, but that could be a good marriage, you know, of like keeping Christ at the center is the most important thing there.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I think it's so like, I kind of sort of touched on this a little bit already, but like culturally speaking with, you know, Christians and stuff, like we, especially millennials who grew up in purity culture, like we get stuck on this idea of like God is writing our love story, you know, because that's something that we were told over and over and over and over and over again. And so it's like we have this mindset of like, well, it's just this one person. So God's just going to bring them, you know, one day, which I'm not saying that that's not going to happen because that's how it's going to work out. But
yeah.
You have this like fairy tale version of like what our one is going to be is just so backwards. And yeah, I feel like that's another rant for a different day, but
Well, I think that kind of goes back to sometimes we tend to have like a fantasy view in our head then too of who that one is going to be. And if we're not more open to what God is going to do, like, that's not helpful for anybody. Like, I don't believe we can mess up God's plan at all, but make it harder for him to do what he's going to do.
Yes. Going back to those I nevers. I made things way more difficult.
Yes.
But that's true too. And like, I think because we don't know our future, like God knows our future, right? And like, we don't know what's coming down the pipeline. And I think he brings us those people, whether it's a spouse or friends or, you know, whatever, that are going to get us through those situations. And we have, like me, I have always had this like perception of the person that I'm supposed to end up with, right? And now as I've gotten older, I'm like, if I had married that person back when I was like 22, we would be having big issues because I'm so not completely different, but I'm like so different in the sense that that person would not be who I needed right now. You know, absolutely. I mean, obviously they could have grown in their own ways too, but I'm just saying the general person that I thought I was going to marry at like 22, you know, like would not be who I need now. Because of who I am now. And rant done on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
You know, and I think sometimes too, like those of us who are older and are still single and like unmarried, you know, well, for me, like I'll look back and I'll just be like, girl, there's no way that you could have been in a healthy relationship back then. Like not a legitimate one. You know, now I am striving for that. To be in a healthy place myself so that I can be in a healthy relationship with my future husband. So it's like, those, you know, those things that we sometimes go through, even though like it's a struggle to be single, especially nowadays and in your 30s, you know what I mean? And so, especially when the majority of your friends got married at like 22.
Yes, exactly. That's where, my biggest struggle is just like my friends do not know what I'm going through. Yeah, because they all met their spouse in high school or college and got married young. Like they're celebrating 10 and 15 year anniversaries. And I'm like, I'm still single over here. And so like, when I joined the dating apps, you know, like they were excited for me. And then just telling them my struggles, they're like, I am sorry. Like that stinks. I'm like, it's horrible out here. but just, like I think just getting off track a little bit, but just the importance of community. Like it has been so good for me to find these Facebook groups, like to realize I am not alone and that I'm not the only 30 plus Christian single out there that is dealing with all of these things.
Yes, I think that's the one thing I love most about 824 is that we're all older and, you know, yes, there's a vast difference in like, you know, those of us who have never been married versus those who are divorced, you know, single parents, et cetera. Right. But like, it's still nice to have that common ground of like, we're all 30 plus and we're trying to figure it out together.
Because the world is very different. Even just 10 years ago, like I remember, I think some of the guys have posted, like been pretty vulnerable with that are divorced and just saying like, man, dating's so different than it was 10 years ago when I got with my spouse, you know, like the game is different now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I've had the same conversations with my family and friends too, that are married. Like, you know, I'm like sharing the different things of like, oh yeah, well this guy said this or this person, you know, like whatever the scenario was. And they didn't have anything to say because they either got married. Well, I mean, even my family, every single family member who's currently still married, like got married young too. And so they're like, oh, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I need more people my age and who are in the same boat as me. Thank God for A24.
Yes, for sure.
Oh, so you would date somebody shorter than you or your
age? I'm 5'11". So like I used to be like, no, I only want to date a man taller than me. Cause really like it's not a superficial thing. Like you literally, like I want to feel safe with my husband. and like them being like physically bigger than me helps me feel safe. But I've also learned I'm 5'11", like, and I'm not a small girl, so I can't help, like, if a guy can't control how tall he is. And so I've resigned to the fact, like, I may marry someone shorter than me, and that, like, that's okay. Again, I'm attracted to their personality and their heart. I have been guilty of being like, no, I want you to be at least 6 foot so you can at least be a little bit taller than me. But now I'm like, no, like, and especially statistically, like, there are not many men that are taller than me that are still, that are genuine Christians also.
Yeah, girl, when you start tapering down your preferences too much, it's like, yeah, you literally have nobody left. Okay. Oh, so you don't expect your husband to be the sole provider. Interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I think, I wonder if part of that is just growing up in a non-Christian home. Like, both of my parents worked, it worked out. Quite a few of my friends are stay-at-home mom, and like, and I totally respect that. Like, whatever works best for your family. Like, I guess that question, like, I don't expect him to be. If he wants to be, like, I'm willing to work it out. Like I said, I'm an accountant though. And so like, we need to make sure it's going to work out financially for all of us. Also, like, I love my job. Like, I love what I do. And so I think I would want to work.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, I get it. Like, you can't, it's so hard nowadays to like, to live on one income, you know? And so it's like, what does that look like for each family? So yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. It's a partnership. Like, I don't see, like, I also, as an accountant, like, I get paid pretty well. So, and maybe my husband would make less than me. And like, I think that's okay. You know, that I don't think that that is him like not leading his family. I think it's, marriage is a partnership. And so finance part of that.
Yes. Agreed. Okay. So your biggest struggle currently is getting a date. but you're talking to somebody now. So
yeah, I know. And we're going, yeah, I'm going to meet him on Sunday. So I know. Yes. My first date in 6 months after the dating apps. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to have to like, let me know how it goes.
Yes, we'll do.
I want to know. I'm going to live vicariously through you.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, that's exciting. Cause I was like, you said that earlier and I'm like, I think she said she hasn't gotten a date though. And so,
no.
But you submitted this a while ago, so that's okay. That's exciting, though. Yay!
Yeah.
We'll have to do an update.
Yes.
Be like, everybody, it's working out.
Yes. Just
plug it in at the end of the episode. Yeah, right.
There.
Yeah, exactly. Just keep putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
Stop sitting at home and expecting him to knock on your door.
Yeah.
Okay, so for rejection, yes, I meant ghosting also. So
okay,
yeah, same.
It's frustrating going back to, if we're gonna be brothers and sisters in Christ, like, just tell me you're not interested. But again, it goes back to like, why aren't we clear in our communication? And it could be for various reasons. But yes, as far as ghosting goes, like, I think it's one thing if the conversation fizzles, like, I don't consider that to be ghosting, but like, if we've been responding to each other and then like, I send you a question and you don't say anything back and unmatch me, like,
Agreed. It's so frustrating. That's why I hate the freaking apps, but I won't rant about that right now.
Yeah. Yep, I just keep finding myself. I only have to find one though.
Yes. You only have to find one that's willing to go out and see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be all these different conversations and stuff. Okay. I'm just going to ask, like, if there's anything else you want to add in that you haven't already touched on. If not, no pressure.
No, I don't think so. I think, yeah, this is a good conversation.
Yeah, it was fun.
I'm excited to hear other people's opinions about things. And we're all different. So yeah, I'm sure, like you said, you've already gotten the vast array of answers on some of the questions. So I'm excited to see what other ladies think.
I know. It's going to be intense. The next couple of days are going to be nuts, but then I have a little bit of a break. But I'm excited to see just like how it all comes together, what God does with it. And, you know, like maybe this will finally be like the tipping point for some people, you know, of like figuring it out. And being like, okay, I just need to be more upfront, or I need to ask the questions, or, you know, I need to communicate better, and like all those things. So yeah, I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anapiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.